Yeah, I hit a bitch cause I got nothing to lose. But it all cash, I got something to prove. And I'm just fucking with them, I got nothing to do. Running through these checks like the ones on my shoes. So
right. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another Geeks Vegas Lines Daily Fantasy Football Breakdowns and Betting Angles podcast brought to you by DFS Army, where we help regular Joes compete like daily fantasy pros on FanDuel and DraftKings and Fantasy Draft and Daily Overlay and all the DFS sites. Also sponsored by Fantasy Draft, the only place where you can get rake-free daily fantasy sports. That's fucking awesome. Good job, Fantasy Draft. We love you. And finally, brought to you by Overlay DFS, the home of Start Sit Progressive Jackpot Fantasy Sports. It's awesome. Get in there because John Statsational has been eating up all the money. So get in there while the getting's still good. My name is Kevin Allen. I am your host with the most for today, the namesake of this podcast, The Geek. And with me today, I've got the season-long specialist himself. Season-long says, like an Encyclopedia Footballica. Ask him about some player on Auburn in his second sophomore year, redshirting or some shit. And he's like, oh, I know that guy. What's up, Cez?
Hey, what can I say? I have a lot of time to watch a lot of tape, and I try to convey that information to you guys. But for this podcast, I'm just the conduit. I'm the go-between. You guys are certainly the experts. Our friend right there below us in the southern window. Let's say hello to John Alicia. Hey, John.
What's going on, boys? What's up, man? Good being here.
A.K.A. Statsational, the Statsationalicious one. You got to come up with an...
The sports betting go. Oh, I had a long one prepared for John. I've got the greatest hair on any podcast anywhere. The guy who shows up at your house when you didn't pay your bookie and you quickly pay. That's John Alessia right there. Statsational.
You know what this is like, John? This is like when they introduced Apollo Creed in Rocky IV and he had like 75 nicknames and he goes, don't worry, I'm almost done.
Gotta have
the disaster.
The King of Sting.
The King of Sting. Yeah, it was awesome.
Right. The Count of Monte Fisto.
Fisto, that's right. And if he dies, he dies.
Rocky IV is the greatest of all of them, right?
Easily.
It's one of the... Well, IV has one of the greatest... probably the greatest montage, workout montage. When he's up in the in the snow in the mountains.
The training montage.
Drago.
I saw
Rocky IV in the movie theater. I was like 10, and you would think, all right, I grew up in a very Italian neighborhood, and you would have thought it was a legitimate real boxing match. People were going out of their minds, just screaming and yelling at the screen. I don't think those sort of things exist anymore.
No, but you're, well, how old are you, John?
I just turned 46.
Okay, so I'm 40. I'm going to be 44, and I saw it in the movie theater too. So I was 1985.
I was 85. I was 12. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it. People were standing on the seats cheering when I saw it in a movie theater in Staten Island. I definitely had that same experience.
What the hell were you doing? You remember
Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, it was like I was with like some camp friends or something out in Staten Island.
Wasn't it Eddie Murphy Raw when he did the whole routine on the Italian guys and Rocky? If you haven't seen it, you younger guys, go look it up on YouTube. It's pretty good.
Sorry about the spoilers. It's only been 35 years since it came out. All right. Well, this has gone off the rails already. Usually we save that for the end. But hey, Geek, it's week 11. A lot of people are kind of falling by the wayside in their season-long leagues. So there's even more interest in DFS. But this podcast, this video cast, is not just for the fish. It's for the players that with some experience and certainly some of the whales. So let's get to it. We're going to start right off the bat with Atlanta going to Carolina. John, the Carolina is going to be laying 6, the under over at 50.5. Now I'm starting to think that Kyle Allen might be, I would say, a legitimate NFL quarterback. I'm all in on him. It seems like the line is reflecting the respect for his, at least competent skill set.
The line, I'm actually seeing more 5.5 anywhere. I haven't seen any 6s, so it might be that might have moved during the day. I know you look at it early in the morning. So, 5.5, Allen has definitely proven to be an NFL-quality quarterback. I think that's sort of why they haven't rushed Cam Newton back, and obviously now he's going for surgery, so that pretty much done for the year. But Yeah, so as far as the betting markets go, it's about 50-50 with the money on this game going towards both sides. And if we look at the total of, I have 49.5, we're seeing more of the action come in on the underside. So it's about 64% of the cash coming in under the 49.5. This actually opened at 54, if that is correct, and it's moved all the way down here to 49.5.
Sometimes those opening lines, though, they're just, you know, they're not they're not bettable lines. They open.
No, what happens is they'll open these up on Sunday for very small amounts because what they want to see if they're far off, like if their number's wrong, and depending on who comes in on you know, and how much money comes in and who comes in on which side, they may start to adjust that line. So they'll put a small, you'll have a very small limit on Sunday, let's say, to make a bet. This is for like in Vegas and, you know, Pinnacle is the offshore book that a lot of these books now just go off of. So anyway, you could get in small bets early and then they'll adjust the lines as the week goes on.
John, quickly, what does your model say? Because I heard Rufus Peabody this morning on RotoWire show on Sirius, and he had three big bets the weekend, and he liked Atlanta on this one. He said his model showed Atlanta as a one-point favorite.
Yeah, I actually, I'm going to agree with him on this. As far as the model that you guys see, I don't want anyone to get confused, but the model that you see that Geek refers to, and we look at that for DFS with yardage and things like that. You're going to see just a 3-point spread there, which I think is probably about right. I've got it at Carolina favored by 3, but I would like, you know, Arizona with the points there, I think is going to be a fairly sharp play this week.
Atlanta, right?
Yeah, no, I said Arizona. It's Atlanta. I'm sorry, I get the two.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. So whether they're good or not, Geek, Atlanta. You know, I almost had me saying Arizona. Atlanta is usually good for some fantasy goodness. Now, we talked about on the Waiver Wire podcast, Brian Hill, three down back. Is he someone that's going to be interesting to you? I'm sure he's low priced in DFS.
Yeah, he's the top play on the board. So one of the beautiful things. Well, a couple things. I want to get back to the lines real quick first on this game because both the game total and the spread here have been steadily declining. So to come back to your point, John, this opened at 7. It's at 5.5 right now. So obviously the sharp money is on Atlanta here. And they saw the game last week. They see Atlanta's defense a little bit, seeming like a little bit not as bad as it was earlier this year. They got all these sacks. They hadn't had a sack all season. All of a sudden, they got come off a 6 sack. So Atlanta's defense just is coming off a good game. And I think a lot of the thought here is, what if that continues? We already know that the Panthers defense has been really good this year. You know, they're one of the better scoring fantasy defenses on the board, and I like them in this spot too. So this one could go a lot of different ways, and I understand why the bettors are betting the under, because both of these teams seem to have defenses that are better than what I think public perception might think of them. Now, with all of that said, there is a lot of fantasy goodness to be had here. A lot of it. We still have a high total game. You mentioned Brian Hill, and I'd love your scouting report on this guy, because what I can tell you is my report is 20 touches last week after Freeman went down, bunch of targets, a couple targets in the passing game, fine by me. And this is a week where there's almost no value to be found anywhere. We're paying up everywhere. So Brian Hill should be the most highly owned player of the entire slate. It also helps that Carolina hasn't been very good against the run. But tell me about this guy. What do you know about Brian Hill?
Three down skill set, was drafted by Atlanta, released, signed by Cincinnati. They wanted to keep him, didn't have room for him on the roster on the 53. They tried to hide him on the practice squad. Atlanta quickly re-signed him and kept him on the active roster this offseason after a great preseason. He's just someone that just didn't get an opportunity yet. He's 24 years old. He's in the, you know, he's in the his prime of his career. And it's just one of those situations. He could be that fantasy guy that brings us to the promised land. And, Devontae Freeman's going to be out for a couple weeks. So for DFS, fire him up for at least a couple weeks. And if Atlanta starts losing, this could be the back of their future. Who knows? I mean, we've seen guys come out of nowhere before.
Now, you know, as far as this play goes, as a DFS play as a whole, and again, Brian Hill, I'm going to focus on him for a minute because it's really, really important this week. And John, I'm sure you're on the same wavelength. Like, the first thing I'm trying to figure out is this a lock button play or not? At 4,800, one of the things that concerns me here is that's not that much different than Devonta Freeman was kind of hanging out at most of the season. And it's not like Devonta was like blowing you away with his fantasy points. this Atlanta team has not been a heavy producer of fantasy points from the running back position. But if it's going to be just Hill, if Judge Ito Smith is out, which he is,
he's and on I know IR.
That, yeah, there's like Quadre Olison. I remember his name.
It's Kenyon Barner and Quadre Olison, who's a rookie they drafted from Pittsburgh, who's just like kind of a plotter. So it's Brian Hill's job.
Yeah, as long as it's going to be Brian Hill's job. And Kenyon Barner, we all know about him. So just a guy. Just a guy. So like if Brian Hill gets all of these touches and there's going to be 20 of them and maybe three targets for 5K, it's not the most spectacular value I've ever seen in this type of a play. And I'm Mr. Play the Unknown Running Back like all day. That's what I always do. But I'm not saying that I think this guy's going to put up 26. And John, I don't know, back me up on this. Or not, or give me your point of view on it, because I want to spend some time on this. This is very important. But I don't see this guy as a 25-point play or a 30 or some sort of a smash. But what I do see is a reasonably high touch floor in a game environment that's attractive on a week where there's not much else going on in terms of value.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably going to be in a lot of cash lineups for sure. I don't know. It's still early in the week for me. Before I make a decision on whether I'm going to be all in on GPPs, my gut says probably not on this one. This isn't kind of the same situation we had with Samuels a couple of weeks ago. Like you said, the price is 4,800, and we've seen nothing from. We really haven't had any big outings here from the Atlanta backs. Like Freeman hasn't been all that great. What's his prices? What's Freeman? I could look it up. But Freeman, like you said, was he in
he's been 5,200. Yeah, he's been 50. It's not.
Yeah, I'm just
you're not playing Freeman. Over.
Yeah, you're in the mid fives. I mean, he was down. The cheapest he was 4,900, and he got 12.5 against Indy Freeman. So, it's a good floor play, which is nice for cash. I just don't know if the upside is that great. That he's going to be a absolute lock play for GPPs.
I agree. Yeah. All right, there's a lot more going on with this game, so I want to get to the rest of it. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey is involved with this game. He is always going to be one of the best plays on the slate, if not the best play. He showed it every single week. Showed it last week. Last week I gave everybody permission. I said if you don't want to play him at 10.5, because 30 fantasy points at 10K or 10.5 is not like slate breaker by any stretch. As a matter of fact, you're probably not winning. With 30 fantasy points, or it's not helping you win when you spend that much to get 30 fantasy points. And I think he's in the same situation here. I think the matchup is just as good as last week, maybe better. Atlanta technically has not been bleeding points to running backs the way they have in the past, but that doesn't really matter. It's Atlanta. They're not that good defensively against these kind of players. So it's a high total. He's at home. There's all kinds of things going for McCaffrey that you say, I want to play this guy in cash. And it's also the matchups this week. There's no one else really secure to get you 30 fantasy points at the running back position. So I think you got to play him in cash. The other guy that's really interesting for me here, and this is just on the Carolina side. Give me a minute to get to it. But I just like everything about this Carolina offense. Kyle Allen, the quarterback, is the only pay down option that I found on this entire slate at quarterback that I'm interested in cash games and really just at all. So once you get past the elite name quarterbacks, it's a bunch of shit down below, except for Kyle Allen, who's here. He's sitting there. He hasn't had big games, but it's a 50 point total. We like Curtis Samuel. We like DJ Moore, who I'm mentioning now. We like those two, both of them. So if I like those guys, why shouldn't I like their quarterback? And oh, by the way, he throws to and we like Greg Olsen as well. So all of the weapons in this game we like, we might as well like the quarterback as well. So I love everything about the Carolina side of this game. Atlanta coming off a great game. Matt Ryan, do I feel confident playing Julio Jones and paying up for him in cash? Hell no, but Julio Jones in play, no more Sanu. Calvin Ridley should get a little more looks, and no Hooper. That should increase the looks for Ridley and Julio. You can throw in a gentleman named Gage. What the hell?
Justin Gage.
Russell Gage.
Russell Gage, right. Russell Gage.
Yeah.
Rookie, right? He looked good in his limited opportunities.
I mean, 9 targets 2 weeks ago, 5 targets last week. So the two games without Sanu, he's pretty much eaten up those – that role. But what's interesting here is now we've got no Hooper And Hooper's been like a fantasy scoring vacuum, sucking all the fantasy points away from all these other guys. So I think with no Hooper, all three of the pass catchers for Atlanta are really interesting here. And we have to figure out if James Bradbury is going to be playing. If he is, then, you know, and we'll have maybe a Bradbury effect of pushing some extra targets over to Calvin Ridley.
All right. We spent way too much time on that first game.
Important game.
Definitely an important game.
It's an important
game. Yeah, that's cool. And just before we move on to Jacksonville and Indy, I just want to realize we were talking about Rocky earlier. John, look at my shirt right here. I got my Drago shirt on.
Well, I mean,
is that a coincidence or what right there?
I'm going to bust out a shirt for you next week, then.
He's going to wear his red, white, and blue Rocky shorts and no shirt with boxing gloves. All right, Jacksonville. Wait, the Nick Foles Jacksonville team coming off a bye, traveling into Indianapolis, and they are going to get Jacoby Brissett back this week. I don't think the line would move much, but I saw it this morning at -3, total 44. Go ahead, John. Break down this game and if it's still at -3.
Yeah, -3. Some outs actually have it -2.5. So a lot of it you're getting no juice. The juice is on the Jacksonville side, so you could actually get -3 at even money in a lot of outs right now. 43.5, 44 on the total, depending on where you are. The money right now pretty much coming in exclusively on the under in this game. And from the game standpoint, we're seeing the money come in on Jacksonville, about 60% to 40% Jacksonville money. What's interesting there is about 60% of the tickets are coming in on the Indy side. So we're actually seeing the bigger tickets, the bigger money coming in on the Jacksonville side of this game.
Geek, in this matchup right here, I think that this is a boon for DJ. A lot of people are skeptical of Foles coming back, but I think this is actually a Gardner Minshew, very admirably filled in, but I think this is a major upgrade for this offense. Do you share that same belief?
I have to see it to believe it. Nick Foles has been one of these quarterbacks that, you know, sometimes he really shows very differently from time to time. I do like the situation. Another thing I'm trying to think about is it a DJ Shark thing, or is Nick Foles kind of the type of quarterback that's a little more likely to kind of get his crossing patterns with D.D. Westbrook and that type of role? So I think there are definitely some mysteries here that make this entire game feel very GPP only for me. It's going to be tough to pay all the way up for DJ Shark where he's priced outside of like crazy tournament entries. And the rest of the pass catchers, I mean, D.D. Westbrook has given us zeros on occasion, this season, even though most of the time he's been pretty good. So I don't know what's going on with D.D. Westbrook's injury situation. And of course the running back situation, it's just not that great. I mean, the Colts have been just pretty good defensive team for the last couple of years, even in a dome where normally I'd be excited to kind of get down with offensive skill position players in the dome. You know, it just doesn't seem to always work out against the Colts. They've been good defensively this year. And at quarterback, I mean, I assume, you know, we'll get Brissett back here, and no Hilton. Brissett without Hilton, just it's not a good mix.
Yeah, and Zach Pascal disappointed a little bit last week.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be going back to that. And the Jaguars do have pretty good defensive backs, even without Jalen Samuel. So I'm not going to be super excited. I do have memory of a Marlon Mack smash game against the Jaguars from last year where he put up crazy numbers. But outside of that memory and, you know, assuming there's no reason to assume it will happen again, I really don't like anything about the Colts offense here. And I don't like this game as a whole. Even Leonard Fournette, he's a little too expensive for a guy who's only scored one touchdown this season. I'm just not down with one touchdown.
John, lightning round, quick question. Who would you rather have rest of season? Would you rather have Marlon Mack or Ronald Jones on Tampa?
I think I'm going to stick with Mack.
Interesting. Geek, what say you?
I'm liking what I'm seeing out of Ronald Jones Jr. So I'm starting to lean that way, especially what I heard today with Arians talking about the root tree and how he can be used even more in the passing game.
Interesting. All right. Well, before we go on, we're going to take a quick break here to give you a quick message from our friends at Fantasy Draft. The only rake-free daily fantasy site brings the heat again with the $250,000 guaranteed rake-free contest, the Hooters main event. This is the largest of its kind and only rig-free contest for you. This is just for week 11. Remember that. And only on Fantasy Draft are 100% of the entry fees paid to the contest winner. Sign up at fantasydraft.com with referral code ARMY. That's ARMY. And you'll get a free 7-day trial membership. We talk about it every week, guys, but John, just in 20 seconds or less, tell the people why rig-free fantasy draft is the key to unlocking a better bankroll management and give them the elevator pitch here.
Yeah, I mean, it's just in anything you do, you're paying a rake primarily, whether you go to the casino, whatever they want to call it, a juice, vig, rake. I played this weekend over there, and it's really nice, especially, well, honestly, it's whether you're a big player or a small player, it works really well, right? So the small guy, you could come in there for, I believe it's $100 a month or something like that, right? In plays and do that for free. They've got different tiers, based on how much you play. So yeah, limiting the amount of rake you play is just only going to put more cash in your pocket. So I think it's well worth giving them a look.
Geek, I mean, you've done a great job of explaining it every week, but echoing what John said, is there anything else you can add to why we encourage all the DFS Army and anyone else listening to the Geeks Vegas Lions to go over to fantasydraft.com and try this website out?
Let me make it simple. Like, if you have two supermarkets down the street for you, right? One is charging $2 for a 12-pack of Budweiser, and the other one's charging $3 for a 12-pack of Bud, and you like drinking Bud, you go to the one that pays two. Like, you'd be stupid to go to the other one. It just doesn't make any sense. So if you can get free rake-free anything, fantasy sports, your chances of being profitable are exponentially larger. People don't understand, like, that most of the if you look at the best players' margins in the world, it's like 6%, 7% ROI. No one's out here making 100% ROI if you're betting, if you're playing with volume. Your winning percentage in sports gambling, the best guy is like 60, 58%, 61%, 59%. So just we're dealing in such quantities that are like minuscule over time, that advantage of rake free is massive when you take it over a longer time frame. So and it happens to be Fantasy Draft is awesome. Their contest structure is really fun. The way they set it up is really good.
I like the interface. The interface is so much smoother than some of the other sites out there. That's
very good. Couldn't recommend it more. I always play there. I honestly would play all my action there, except I gotta concentrate on these other sites because we gotta talk about them here.
Yep. Hey, John, the game of the week. Just kidding. New York Jets are going to Washington. Washington giving 1.5, total 38. I don't know what is to say about this, but where are the bets going? I'm guessing just off the bat, it's going to be the under, even with the low total.
Well, let's take a look here on the on that game. As far as the total goes, it's pretty much even. So I mean, it's such a low number that the game is even. And I think maybe a little, some people might have gotten a little worried last week because the Giant Jet game, which everyone anticipated to be sort of low, turned out to be a little bit of a shootout, at least early on, at least.
That's what happens sometimes when you have these two bad teams. People expect it to be like 10-7, and sometimes the defenses just break down because they're not good, and you end up getting like a carnival for fantasy.
Yeah, that's what wound up happening last week. I mean, it was one of those games where you didn't think you'd like much in that game, and then, of course, the one guy who's the best player on the field did absolutely nothing with all those points being scored, so, in Barkley. So that was it was a bit of an odd fantasy game for sure. But as far as the bets go, we're seeing more of the way more of the action coming in and way more of the money coming in, 80% of it on the Jets, which does not shock me at all. I think especially with Haskins out there, nobody has any confidence in Haskins until he starts proving something other than what he's shown so far. So, yeah, I mean, it's not a surprise that everyone here, probably the sharp bettors and the public, are going to be back in the Jets in this game.
Yeah, it's sharp, better, and Jets. It's an interesting choice of words to go together, but it does make sense in this case. One of our favorite players, Darius Geis, is coming back, and I know that he's sharing carries with Adrian Peterson, who's playing well, but John just talked about how no one really trusts Haskins. Is it safe to presume that Washington's going to hand off the ball 30 times, giving enough life to try Darius Geis in a lineup, or you just need to see it first?
Oh, man, I think I need to see it. I need to understand how healthy he is. I want to hear a blurb from the coach about how many snaps he'll get. Listen, I freely admit last week, everybody was like, should I play Hunt? And I said, no, I don't like playing guys coming off of it's unlikely that they'll heavily involve this guy coming off of a long, you know, period of not playing yet. And
but Hunt wasn't injured. That's the difference, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. So he wasn't coming off an injury, but obviously they used him a ton. He was actually on the field 50% of the time. Like, he had a ton of snaps, and he was on the field together with...
We're talking about Kareem Hunt right now.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt was there with Chubb a lot of the time. Like, Chubb was the 70%er, and it's not like Hunt was 30. Hunt was 50%+, so they were both out there together. Darius Geis, first of all, right in, steps in for the passing game work and kind of takes over the Chris Thompson role. I think he's way more talented right now at this point in his career than what Adrian Peterson is at this point in his career. We don't know what the deal is with this injury, how healthy he is. So we'll have to see. I'm not jumping on it at 4,400. Jets aren't the best matchup for running backs on the board, and especially one that's not going to get a full workload. But it's definitely a situation to monitor. And if you played him, you know, I'm not going to hate you for it. I don't like it, but I won't hate you for it.
Okay, on the other side of the ball, on the Jets, I mean, is there, you know, we often joke around and we call Chris Herndon, who was supposed to be the big breakout tight end, every time he comes back, he never makes it. It's like in The Shining, Scatman Crothers. We've talked about that before. Right when he gets there, he gets an axe to the chest. Who's left on the Jets to play? Is Jameson Crowder? Are you recommending any Jets this week or anytime to any of your subscribers?
Yeah, there's a few spots where we can mess around with the Jets. Jameson Crowder, so he does appear to be Darnold's favorite target, but, you know, let's keep that in check, okay? Last week was a bit of an anomaly. The route tree he runs is not generally going to lead to touchdowns, and, you know, it just only 6 targets. Let's not go crazy off of a pretty good game last week, all right? He just was fine. So I don't want to jump on that at 5,700. Demaryius Thomas is interesting. He's getting a lot of looks. I don't love him as anything but a sort of super punt, like, hey, hope I get, you know, a little something out of this guy kind of play. He's been getting a ton of actual targets each week, coming off of a 9 target game.
He's almost acts like the de facto tight end. Wouldn't you say that, John? He's like this big lumbering slow guy that just kind of catches short passes at this point of his career.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, as far as this game goes you know, these Jet receivers in general, I'm just not a fan of the game. I can't see anyone in this game that I'm going to really have, you know, I'm going to have bits and pieces just because when you kind of mass enter it. But in all honesty, if you wanted to just grade this game out and not play one player in this game, you won't get any argument from me.
I do have an angle for this game though, but it's Jets defense. I've been thinking about it. Jets defense is still playing hard. Okay, they're not dealing with a quarterback who is going to or has shown that he can burn you with his arm. They've been pretty good against the run. So Dwayne Haskins could have a meltdown. No one wants anything to do with the Jets. And I get that at 38-point total. But what's interesting here is the defense. And it's funny because I can hear more people talking about Washington defense than Jets defense. But I think they're wrong. I think it's Jets defense here that's in play. I picked them up in some season-long leagues where I needed a defense this week. For me, it's between them and Oakland as your streamers in season long. And therefore, I like them and Oakland in DFS as well.
Yeah, that's a sharp play. I like that. And you know, we'll get to Oakland, but they're definitely not as bad as everyone thinks they are. And I'm interested to hear John's take on that. But we're moving along. We're going to be Denver with Brandon Allen. A lot of Allens. Josh Allen, Brandon Allen.
How many people are going to click the wrong Allen this week and just, oh shit, I thought I was playing Kyle Allen, but I got Brandon Allen.
Yeah. Pay attention, players. Definitely. So he looked good in his first week at play. It's not really a rookie, but you know, first real time playing, and now he's got the daunting task of going to Minnesota. -10.5. I mean, this is a big line. John, break down what you see happening here.
What's interesting is we've got, you know, a big dog like this, 10.5, and you've got most of the money coming in on Denver. But again, it's one of those situations where the public is actually coming in on Minnesota, which makes sense. But boy, it's a 64% of the tickets with a 72% of the money. So 64% of the tickets on Minnesota with 72% of the money on Denver. So that's a really interesting one that I'm just looking at now. So usually what that indicates is you're getting larger bet sizes on the side that has the smaller amount of tickets. And typically, not always, but the larger bet sizes indicate some of the sharper action. So something to take a look at, see if that line comes down despite the public liking Minnesota. So 10.5 right now, it could be the fact that they just like getting the hook or that extra half a point over the key number of a 10. As far as the total goes, we're at 40.5. It's up from 38.5. And the money right now is coming in. Again, we've got a split between the tickets and where the money is. So 76% of the tickets have come in over, while 68% of the money has come in on the under.
Yeah, Geek, this is an interesting game. And that big line, you know, these big lines in the NFL, I think, are they could be interesting for DFS in a sense where it's hard to figure out where the points are actually coming from. But one guy that I have my eye on in season long, and in DFS, is Noah Fant. He'd come on. He's kind of become the number two de facto receiver after they traded Emmanuel Sanders. Is Noah Fant someone that you have interest in DFS?
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at him. I don't want to allow the kind of fluky week with the one big play catch from last week to influence my judgment here. I don't like chasing things like that. Same time, you know, for those who don't know, you know, he had a 75-yard touchdown catch last week, and that massively inflated his stats and his numbers. And, you know, now he looks like, wow, is he great now? But he only had four targets. I'm not blown away. Minnesota has been attackable via the tight end so far this season, so it's not something you want to stay away from. But again, I'm not trusting this Brandon Allen kid enough to really want to start to put my money on pieces in this Broncos offense to where, you know, that's where I want to go. He's not cheap enough, Fant, to make me excited. Anyway, he's kind of same price as a Greg Olsen or something like that. So it's not cheap enough to really like get my juices flowing. I do think he could have a good game. I might do like 5% in tournaments exposure, but nothing I want to get crazy with. As far as this game as a whole, it's an ugly one from a fantasy scoring perspective. First of all, a 40-point total. I mean, that's not that much better than the Jets game. And we just want teams that we want games with higher totals, with more scoring opportunities. Originally, I thought of Vikings, Dalvin Cook is sort of an interesting combo, but we know the Vikings will go away from Cook as soon as the game's out of control. We're going to see Alexander Mattison out there. If the game's out of control, they want to bring in Alexander Mattison. So
I like that you call him Mattison. Isn't it what? Madison? It's our founding father, Alexander Mattison.
No, Alexander Hamilton, first of all.
I meant the nickname for this player.
Yeah, it's Alexander Mattison. Alexander Mattison.
I don't believe there's an H in there at all.
Yeah. There's no th.
Listen, I'm from Brooklyn.
So am I.
Speak a certain way. Yeah. I speak a certain way. Alexander Mattison. Mattison? One thing. Are you sure it's not pronounced Mattison?
It's Mattison.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we go. Mattison.
One thing's clear, though. Every time they give that guy a carry, I'm like, oh, look, it's Dalvin Cook. Oh, wait. Because they have like the same hair.
How long are the dreads?
Yeah. You got to look really close and figure out whose dreads are longer to figure out who's running the ball.
It's brutal because the dreads cover the name on the back of the jersey. Right.
So yeah. Like, no, that's happened a couple times.
Who is that?
I was shocked when they took him in the third round. I thought they were going to take a receiver there, but it turns out this guy's a player. I mean, they were super high on him. I did not have him in my draft grade going in the third round, but I was wrong on him. He looks like he could be a top 10. I mean, he'd probably be a top 8 fantasy back if Dalvin went down, right?
Oh, my gosh. He's the premier. He is the premier backup running back in the league by far. Like, he's the number one handcuff. Next year, you'll see him, you know, going in like the sixth round to the Cook owner because he's so fucked if he doesn't get him.
You remember when they had when Ben Tate went to Arian Foster? It's like that relationship right there. But Ben Tate, like, again, he was a Scatman Crothers. He never showed up, and the couple times he did, he got hurt right away too. So
there've been a few like that. Who's the guy on KC who was that way too? There was another guy.
Spencer Ware?
No, before him. Before it doesn't matter. You'll think of it as we go. But let's move on from this game. A lot of goodness here. Cortland Sutton, meh. Diggs is going to be covered by Chris Harris, meh. So there's not a lot going on here that I'm interested in.
All right, John. Houston coming off the bye. Deshaun Watson, who I have as my long shot MVP bet from the beginning of the season. I was feeling really good about it until I saw what Lamar Jackson has been, well, predictably from us, has been doing for the whole season. And if you were on Twitter this weekend, all you saw was Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. Those two names, one from college, one from the NFL. This looks like a premier QB matchup. People are going to be, I'm sure, bet a lot of tickets coming in on this game.
Yeah, this game should be bet pretty heavily. You know, I had the actually, I'm just scanning it. It is one of the more heavily bet games this week. We've got 60% of the money and 60% of the tickets coming in on Baltimore. Not a shock there after that great performance last week by Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. And then if we go over to the totals, we've got a total of 49.5 that I'm seeing, and it's almost all coming in on the over. So people just expecting this game to be an absolute shootout. Again, when you've got two premier quarterbacks, it's understandable. Everyone's kind of pounding the over in this game. And I do want to make one note. Before the season, Baltimore was my pick to win the Super Bowl. So I'm going to...
Is that right? Did you get odds? Did you place it? Or it was just like a kind
yeah,
of...
Yeah, I don't remember what the line... I don't remember what the line... I'm trying to remember what the odds were. I know I took them in the futures for over, I want to say, 8.5 wins. They were my biggest... I had them at a 10.5 win when I ran my model, 10.5 wins. I had them as having the most wins of them in like New England. So I said, well, they probably got a lot of value here on the Super Bowl. So I've got it on a video somewhere. You can check it out.
Geek, we were big on Lamar Jackson heading into the preseason. It doesn't make any logical sense that we didn't make an MVP future on him. We did put it on Deshaun Watson, but this one looks like it's full of fantasy goodies. I like Hollywood Brown more than most because he's a guy that doesn't need a lot of targets to produce. Take me through all of the players, including, you know, the receivers that might be coming back from Houston. Where are you putting your money on?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on here because it's really hard to judge this Baltimore defense right now. We know they have elite cornerback play, not just with Marlon Humphrey, but now Jimmy Smith is back. So now we've got sort of a tandem of really, really good corners. Can somebody stop DeAndre Hopkins? Like, is that humanly possible for I think so. And Marlon Humphreys has been good enough where if he's, for example, shadowing DeAndre Hopkins in this game, like, I think that's going to diminish DeAndre Hopkins' prospects in this game a little bit. Have to go a different way. Well, where are they going to? You got Stills. You got Fuller maybe coming back. You've got Kiki Kuti on the outside. So the weapons are a little more muddled for Houston when you start to think about it in terms of the defense for Baltimore and how they do have some shutdown corners. At least one and maybe two guys who are really, really good. So I'm curious to see how that plays out. I'm down with Hollywood Brown. I've been down with him all year. He's on most of my fantasy teams. He does not get a lot of volume. Got to be careful with him. Better FanDuel than DraftKings play every single week because we don't give a shit about PPR as much on FanDuel, and he's way cheaper there. It's like the dichotomy of what it should be with Marquise Brown, but certainly Lamar Jackson, standalone best play on the slate from a quarterback point of view. If we throw the salary out, he's the highest raw projection. He's by far and away the most expensive quarterback. But rightfully so. I mean, he just can't seem to get less than 20 fantasy points no matter what he does. So and my man's out here, you know, sitting out the fourth quarter last week with 158.3 passer rating and putting up 33 points. And he only played a couple quarters, like he was out of there by the fourth. So gotta love Lamar Jackson. Gotta love the Bold Calls podcast where Lamar Jackson was predicted to be the number one fantasy scorer in all of fantasy football, where your average BS season-long predictor had him like ranked like 19th.
I mean, he moved up into like, you know, QB 10 by the end, but certainly, you know, we were stepping on the gas for him as QB 1.
Yeah, well, there it is. You know, on it from the beginning. So anyway, really exciting game. Hard to determine pieces, especially on the Houston side. Carlos Hyde is interesting, I guess, for a cheap price, $4,600. I don't know that he's going to, you know, get to the promised land. He needs touchdowns. He can get them. So that price point is an interesting pivot off of Brian Hill, who's about the same price, but in a potential spot, which might not score as much. And on the Texan side, though, it's really tricky. Even with Deshaun Watson, it's hard for me to like these guys because I'm concerned about the cornerback play for Baltimore being elite now. Again, Jimmy Smith wasn't there all season. He's there. He's back. He's healthy now, supposedly. So there are some things going on here that maybe kind of indicate we might not see the type of shootout that everybody's expecting. And John, you said the money's coming in on the over or the under here?
No, it's coming in on the over pretty heavily.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, I'm just looking up Lamar Jackson's rushing yards. And just from based on a rushing yards perspective, he is right now, I think, 10th in the NFL in rushing. It's pretty crazy.
Oh, he's no joke. Lamar Jackson, just what he's doing, he's everything that RG3 was supposed to be coming into the NFL. So he's really doing it.
I mean, he is peak Michael. I mean, remember the description again, not to, you know, I mean, wow, breaking news. Lamar Jackson's a good runner, but it's just that we said that he was going to, we thought that he was going to be one of the best runners ever. And he's obviously transforming the game. So we're happy to see that going on. John, Dallas, I saw this off the board as they're going to Detroit. Has there been a line put on since this morning?
No, pretty much this game's still off the board. I think everyone's kind of waiting on Stafford, which I don't think, you know, just
they I'm not a doctor, up. But
they never do, especially when a quarterback's a question mark. So you're not going to see a line on that game just yet. But I think, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, we'll put it this way. The game was going to be, it's going to be close to a 50-51 total. With let's assume if Stafford was playing. So without Stafford, you're going to knock a few points off of that. But this is still going to be a pretty good game, certainly on the Dallas standpoint. From a Dallas standpoint and Dak, I'm sure Geek's going to like from a DFS standpoint. So, yeah, while we don't have a line just yet, it's probably going to be somewhere around, 4.5 and 50, something like that, Dallas favored.
Geek, take us through the players, even regardless of the line. Some of the guys in here, I'm even liking a little sneaky value with Randall Cobb, who's been getting heavily targeted over the last few weeks. Take us through who you might recommend to the listeners to play in DFS this week.
Well, the biggest angle, I think we really have to start with what is a very important angle in this game. And yes, Dak has been spectacular all season long. Amazing, right? Putting up great numbers. Just looking really, really good, looking like a high floor, just really pro quarterback. At the same time, what we've seen over the course of the exact same time frame is Zeke kind of disappointing a little bit, not getting his usual volume, not, you know, just putting up the smash games that he normally does. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that these two are very negatively correlated. And my concern in this game is twofold. Number one, I look at the Lions probably without Matthew Stafford. And I question whether they're going to have what it takes to put up enough points in this game to sort of force the hand of the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. Certainly from a cash game point of view, where I'm trying to increase my floor and reduce my risk as much as possible with every play. So Dallas has this risk of Zeke Elliott coming out against the 32nd ranked run defense of the Lions and just smashing. Now, do I think he hasn't done it all year? There's no reason to think that he'll do it now. But
he doesn't look like the same player to me. He looks like he's not moving the same way as he has in years past. It's definitely Dak's team, don't you think?
It's been that way. I mean, Zeke isn't breaking tag. I saw some PFF numbers on Zeke Elliott that he's essentially like numerically one of the worst running backs in the league. Can't break a tackle. Goes down really quick. And that could change on a dime. You know, elusiveness rating is very bad. So like he is not rating out well at all. But if it's a Zeke smash game, Dak generally does not do much. We've seen it before. This pattern has now, all of that said, I mean, Dak is the man this year. He's throwing like crazy. He only throws to Cooper and you're right. He added in Cobb last week to the arsenal, but before that, he'd been throwing just to Cooper and Michael Gallup. Both had been really great. Gallup, 10 targets last week. I mean, Cooper just smashed again last week with 14 targets. It's unbelievable. And with all of those targets that went around last week, even Randall Cobb got in on the action with a whole bunch of targets and even got that touchdown. I'm not counting on that again from Cobb outside of game stacks. I'll definitely have team and game stacks built around this one. But, my early week consideration of Dak Prescott, I thought maybe at 6,700 on DraftKings, he's cash playable. I think he is cash playable, but there are some options in the same range that probably have less chance of the running back coming in and stealing all of those points. So they also have a better chance of the opponent scoring well. So I think there's a couple of factors here that are giving me pause for Dak and cash, but I love him in tournaments. And John, I don't know what your take is on this because I really spent a lot of time trying to figure this one out. And that's kind of where I came up with.
Yeah, I mean, as far as when you look at my numbers, I've got Dallas projected 158 rushing yards and 326 passing yards. So it's like,
the numbers say smash across the board.
Says it across the board, but I definitely see where you're coming from on this because typically it's either Dak or Zeke.
The other thing with your numbers that's not accounting for is if Stafford is out and they have this other dude, what if they just suck? Yeah. Driscoll, what if they just suck with Driscoll? You know what I mean? It seemed okay last week, but what if they just suck?
And, well, how does that affect Dallas is what you're saying. Do you think that becomes more of a just kind of Zeke pounding the ball because Dallas is up in the game? Is that what you're referring to?
I mean, that's why I played Montgomery last week and it didn't work out. But I mean, yeah, that was the idea, right? Like, if the other team can't score, then at this point, just hand it to Zeke and let him do his thing. Dallas has been behind in a lot of these games, catching up or back and forth. Now we have a game where Dallas is kind of favored and it looks like they can. Now, anything can happen. They can go out there and Driscoll can throw for two touches. We saw Miami do that when they went to Pittsburgh, I think it was, or Baltimore. And like they scored a couple times real quick. And now the opposing team really actually needs to, play and play hard. But if that's not happening and Dallas jumps out to a lead, they'll just sit on Zeke potentially.
Well, you got to be careful here too, because you got to look at, we got to take into account what the spread's going to be. And if it's 4.5, I don't care who's quarterbacking. They're not anticipating Dallas just, winning this game by three touchdowns. So if that's what the line's going to be, even with Driscoll, then we have to just go under the assumption that this might be a tight game. And it could very well be a Dak type of game with Zeke. But I think what you do want to do here is if you're playing mass entering, is try to limit or not use at all the Dak-Zeke stack. So if you're going to use Dak, you're going to use him with one or two wide receivers, and you're going to try to eliminate Zeke from those stacks, or you're going to just play Zeke with no wide receivers and no Dak. I think that's when you're using the domination station, I think that's the route that you have to go.
All right, guys, what we're going to do is here take a quick break and talk about our friends at OverlayDFS.com. Tired of having to pick the perfect player at every position in order to win on salary cap DFS? Tired of having your salary cap lineup out of the running in the first 5 minutes? Does having salary cap DFS feel like a job and not a game? Then want to play a game where the pros with 150 lineups and computer programs can't dominate? Then OverlayDFS.com has the new start, sit, revolutionary game for you. You can do a max entry of 10 entries. So you can't put 150 lineups in. It's max of 10. Here's how it works. You make 12 start-sit decisions from a lineup choices of over 30 that they present to you. A win, a loss, or a tie will be awarded to your overall record for each decision. Records in the top 10% of users will get 9 times your buy-in. 12-0 records will win the grand total guaranteed progressive bonus. 12-0, that if you go perfect, that's how you get the bonus, guys. All matchups are player versus player. Who will have more fantasy points? Usually 8-4 is good enough to cash, sometimes 7-5 or 9-3, depending on the week. You make 12 picks from the matchups listed. And here's an example. I'm actually going to share the screen here, guys, so you could see what's going on. I'm on their website now. Check this out. If you're listening on the audio cast, I'll bring you through it a little bit. So you go through their lobby, and I'm scrolling down to their big game, their $109 game. I'm joining that. You could see it on the screen, right, guys?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so if you could see here is what you do is they give you 30 matchups, and I'm just scrolling through them. For those of you listening on the audio cast, I'm scrolling through the matchups in the overlaydfs.com lobby, and they have a couple matchups, and you pick which one you think is going to have more fantasy points. Lightning round, guys. I'll ask you, John, Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson, who's going to have more fantasy points?
I'm going to go Lamar.
Geek?
Yeah, Lamar all the way there.
Okay, going down the list a little bit, Dalvin Cook versus Christian McCaffrey. John?
Cook.
Geek.
Oh, McCaffrey all the way.
I know. Yeah. I had to be a little different there.
You're just trying to. Right. Is that how you win these? You're just like, that looks too obvious. I'm going the other way.
No, you're actually not.
So while we're in the overlaydfs.com lobby, I'm going to scroll down to the bottom here. And this one's interesting. Jamison Crowder versus Courtland Sutton. Who's going to have more fantasy points, John?
Oh, God. Yeah. See how tough this is? I'm going to go with Sutton.
And Geek?
Man, I'll go Crowder just to be different from John.
All right. So
that one I don't have a strong lean on at all.
Right. And what's cool, you know, I found, I don't know, John is the master of strategy, and I wouldn't dare challenge his process. But something I found interesting in these games is what I do is if, say, I'm picking just Sam Darnold in one of my matchups, what I'll do is I'll go down and try to find the correlating receiver and pick him in his matchup as well. And then I kind of have like a stack within a start sit. I thought that might be an interesting way to play it. I tried that out last week, and I had some positive results. So overlaydfs.com, try it out if you haven't yet. All right, guys, moving along. The next game on the docket here is, okay, we did Dallas, is Buffalo goes to Miami. Miami, it looks like the lines have come back to earth. So, John, take us through what you see here from a betting perspective.
All right, yeah, it's Buffalo 6 on the road with Miami. You know, we're starting to see these Miami lines come down, right? They were given, they were getting 3 touchdowns earlier in the season. Now, a team that's above 500, only laying 6. 58% of the money coming in, though, on Buffalo. The public not quite ready to crown Miami a champion of anything. So Buffalo's getting more of the action here. And then on the total, it's pretty split 50-50 with a 41. I'm seeing about 41 total here, about 50-50 on the action over and under. I've been saying for a few weeks on some of my write-ups here that I do weekly on these power rankings on the site about, you know, how I've thought Buffalo was a bit of an overrated team, easy schedule. And I think the market's starting to come around to that now. We've started to see that. And we mentioned last week, Cleveland was one of our plays, one of the plays I had. And I think it was a pretty sharp play. A lot of people like that. If you got it at 2.5, 3, of course, was a push. But if you were getting it early in the week, it was 2, 2.5. And I think I even mentioned on this pod that sharps would probably be taking that game all the way up to 3. And that looked like what had happened. It was a classic sharp type of play. So anyway, that said, Buffalo not nearly as good as their record. And this is one of the games, it looks like this week there's some really good games that we want to target from a DFS standpoint, and then there's some real bad games, and this is going to fall under the most likely fairly bad game.
You know, Miami's got to be one of the funnest bad teams in a while. With Ryan Fitzpatrick under center, they are alive in the fantasy world. I mentioned on the Waiver Wire podcast that a guy that I like, well, the coaches in Miami have talked up, is Patrick Laird. He hasn't done anything yet, so I don't suppose he's viable for the DFS game. But where is the fantasy gold in this one?
First of all, did the fog descend upon your household?
You see that, right?
The Florida fog has come in and entered under the window. What the hell is going on over there?
I don't even know.
What game are we talking about? I'm so distracted.
Buffalo and Miami.
Okay. So the only thing I like about this game, and it is exclusive and the only thing, is Buffalo defense. Like, Kalen Ballage, interesting last week, 20 carries.
That is better.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, night has descended upon thee. Bills defense is interesting here, right? We know Fitzpatrick is an interception machine. You know, they played well for the last couple of weeks. They play hard, Miami, by the way. Give them credit. They're out there. They're playing hard. They're giving it their all. You know, they're trying really hard. So that's a nice thing. But as far as fantasy goodness, I don't want anything on the Miami side. Buffalo is a team that suppresses fantasy scoring for everybody beyond all recognition. And when it comes to the Buffalo side, I do, you know, it's like John Brown is there. Cole Beasley is there. Devin Singletary is interesting, but he burned me so bad last week that it's hard to go back to Singletary. Got eight targets, six targets, three receptions, a couple carries, but Franklin Gore was out there as well. Got a target, got a couple carries, five carries. So Gore's still out there. It does look like Singletary's the guy, but they jacked up the salary for him. Man, I want to play him. It's a tournament. John, how much in tournaments do I need of Devin Singletary here?
I'm coming up with a number right now off the top of my head. I don't know, but I was going to interject, you know, when I said this is kind of a game that you don't, that might not have a lot of DFS interest. I do like Singletary here a bit because, you know, when you look at my numbers, I think I have about 155 yards for the Buffalo rushing offense. So that's kind of the best spot here. I think it's Singletary, and you might get some Allen action, Allen stealing some of that yardage as well, running a little bit. You might see 30, 40 yards from him on the ground. So I do like Singletary. I think, you know, he kind of burned people a little bit. So I don't
it's
know.
Tough. It's tough to, yeah. I still feel this thing from it. Like I'm still feeling it.
Well, that's it, you know, and you're not the only one, but yeah. Miami, you know, people like to target running backs against Miami. So we'll see. I think, I can't come up with a number right now because I got to look at the full slate, but I'll have that for you on the Wolfpack podcast. But I definitely have some interest though in Singletary this week.
I like it. And that's about it for DFS purposes. There's not a whole lot going on in this game to get excited about.
Okay. New Orleans is going to Tampa, John. Tampa 5.5 points. They're getting from New Orleans at coming off the bad game. And I just have a question for you. Total of 50.5. What are we to make of a game? How do you adjust a game like last week when New Orleans, who was a 13-point favorite, gets blown out? Is that just like you just almost like push it away? It's like wipe it off the slate, or how do you adjust for that?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think typically you have to give you know, when you have a good team, you kind of give them a pass at least for 1 week. It happened with Green Bay a couple of weeks ago, right, with the Charger game. You kind of give them a pass. I mean, if when they throw up a clunker like that, it's just one game. I don't think the market's necessarily going to be all that, you know, all that down on New Orleans after one really bad game, divisional opponent. So, yeah, I mean, Atlanta, the thing is, and we spoke about Atlanta already, yeah, they were just an underachieving team all season. So for them to come out and win that game while surprising in the fashion that they won, not a total shock that they actually were able to beat New Orleans. But yeah, but if you look at the way the money is coming in on this game, Tampa is actually getting about 60% of the money. So the public does like Tampa here. And I think I've talked about this before. It's another one of the teams I've talked about a lot. Tampa has been an undervalued team because they've really played better than their record has indicated. And we've gone over this in the past. So I think Tampa's been a bit underrated. Maybe the public's starting to get that feel as well. And then on the as far as the total goes, we've got 50.5. It's going to be one of the higher totals on the board. 60% of the money coming in on the under, surprisingly. So, yeah, I mean, this is definitely going to be one of those games. Like I said, it's kind of feast or famine with these games this week, and this is one of those games that figures to be feast.
Geek, I had to just adjust the camera, my disaster of a camera right now, so I missed it. Did you break down this one from the players, or John just finished his breakdown there?
Yeah,
so
yeah, John.
Just going into Tampa. I mean, the guy I'm really interested in is Ronald Jones. I mean, we liked him a lot in the preseason. When he didn't get going early on in the season, I did back off him a little bit, but this looks like the Ronald Jones we saw at USC. Plus, he's catching some passes.
Eight targets, eight receptions last week. First of all, my entire portfolio of best ball teams like took such a leap forward last week. Just it took one 23-point game from Ron Jones Jr. and my like 60% exposure to this guy just like lifted off. I'm like, oh my God, I'm in the money in every fucking league. Between him and Tyreek Hill, it's like that cavalry just came riding in, you know, a little Hunter Henry cavalry as well. So my best balls are looking pretty good right now. As far as this game goes, it's really tough because I love Ron Jones Jr. right now. I like how they're using him. Eight targets in the passing game. Like, what happened to Dare Olowokandé, man? No. It's Ron Jones Jr. now? Okay, cool. Now, here's the negative. They're playing the Saints, and one does not simply run on the New Orleans Saints, right? You can't run on this team. Nobody runs on them. And Ronald Jones Jr. is no different, right? He's not going to be able to run successfully on this team. If they could pass to him 8 times and he can make value from 5,200, he's got to be in your player pool. But fuck, I wish he was 5,200 against not the Saints, against some team that isn't like really good against the run, because this would be a great alternative to Brian Hill, or another play to go alongside Brian Hill in this particular game. Now, it's a second game between division rivals. Those are always a little sketchy. And we saw last week, Atlanta, New Orleans, division rivals, these games don't always go as planned. You know, weird shit happens. They know each other well.
John, is that a thing in betting? Like, always take the under the second time division rivals meet?
It is not a thing. It is not a thing.
But I would like to see some numbers on that.
Can we make it a thing? Can we start making it a thing?
Yeah, if you keep talking, I could look that up for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Division rivalries, they're playing each other for the second time. The coaches have already game planned it and saw and have seen how their game plan played out, so they can adjust. So there's a lot of difference between, I think, the second game between division rivals, for example, and just like the Giants taking on, you know, the Chargers 1 week, and they play them once every 4 years. These guys game plan for each other twice a year. They know each other very well. They already saw what the first week's game plan looked like and did. So I do think there is something there. And I've seen it. I've studied it in fantasy football production, and there is absolutely an effect. That doesn't mean that the lines aren't reflecting that. You know what I'm saying? That's why I'm like, I don't know. But about the sports gambling side, I haven't looked at it. The lines maybe don't reflect that, or maybe they do already. I don't know. But I've seen it. We've already noted in this matchup that Mike Evans has – Lattimore has done a good job against Mike Evans in the past. The last time – let's see here. The last time these two teams met, Michael Evans delivered a big, fat zero, where Godwin got you 34 or 30, had a smash game. So can we extrapolate that Godwin will once again be looking good, as Marshawn Lattimore has done a pretty good job of shutting down Evans? Or is this the new Evans of the last few weeks that's just been really, really great? So I don't know. But I mean, obviously the lean on the Buck side is, for me, is going to be Godwin again. Godwin has kind of been disappointing for a few weeks in a row, but it's not like he's not getting volume. 12 targets, 9 targets, 8 targets, the last 12 targets over the last 4 weeks. He just hasn't done it. And I think that's just variance. He'll get there. And this is a good spot for him to do that. On the Saints side of it, Michael Thomas is the top play on the slate at wide receiver, possibly the top play on the slate, period. Remember that Tampa is a cheat code defense. We love the Bucs because, once again, they stop the run. They can't stop the pass. It's been a cheat code. They can score. Everything about the formula, every single week so far this season, if you've played the offense that's playing against Tampa, you have made money. So I'm not stopping the pattern. Now, the problem with the Saints is, outside of Michael Thomas, price is so fucking jacked up. You have to make a choice. It's almost a Sophie's choice between him and Christian McCaffrey. Although I will say, I did create a lineup that has them both, but the rest of it looks really ugly. But it does have them both, because I think you can get like 70 points out of these two guys if you have them. Like 1-2, 70 points. You're going to spend 20K, 20, 40, 60, 80. It's almost 4X just these two guys. There is some argument for it. But beyond him, who could we trust? Man, Teddy Ginn Jr., secondary piece, hard to trust it. Traquan Smith, the chef. Traquan the chef? No.
I like that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's tough. He got a couple targets last week. You know, you ain't getting a whole lot out of that guy. And then Kamara is very expensive. I like Kamara, but, you know, if you're cool with paying 8K for 14 touches, maybe 6 targets in total, you know, that's fine. But that's all you're getting out of him right now. He could smash, but he could also get you 7 or 8 for a very high price.
I mean, that's what's good about the Saints is, you know, you couldn't really name anyone else. They do have a very narrow tree of passers and players that they go to, so it's easy to figure out who. It's just, now, then again,
the hard part with them to throw in is it actually makes it trickier, because with the Saints, it'll be like that Taysom Hill will get a touchdown.
Yeah, that's
annoying. It'll be like Dan Arnold and like, who the fuck is that? And Tommy Lee Lewis would bust out with a touchdown. You're like, I thought they cut that dude. And like all of a sudden he's on the team and scoring a touchdown. Like they're that kind of a team. So I just love Michael Thomas. I think that's the way to get exposure to this. And Drew Brees is one of the better plays on the slate. Again, any team going up against this Bucs, any passing offense going up against this Buc defense, you got to have exposure to it.
Yeah, just remember, if you like the content you're hearing, like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Twitter, and Facebook. Ring the bell on the YouTube. You'll get a notification when we go live, and you can hear all of our slate of podcasts. We have we're really building quite a library covering all different topics for everything from daily fantasy basketball, season-long basketball, MMA. I mean, John does his Beat the Bookie podcast, all the VIP podcasts like Wolfpack included for members. So certainly sign up if you're not a member. If you're hearing this on the public feed at dfsarmy.com, use promo code Geek, use Statsational, use Says, whatever you want, and get 20% off lifetime, right, Geek? It's for life, the 20% off?
For as long as you stay subscribed, when you sign up with the promo code, your DFS Army subscription, which after the 20% off for VIP is $39.99 a month, which I want to say $39.99 a month covers every sport. I'm not talking just NFL or not one seasonal, like other right. sites do. This is not seasonal. This is every sport. MMA, NFL, MLB, NBA is going strong right now. NBA DFS. Is just crushing right now. We
DFS
love
fucking cricket, DFS field hockey, anything you want.
I found out the other day we have guys covering soccer and tennis. I didn't even know. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm not even allowed to play DFS tennis in New York. I think there's a little, you know, I can only play sometimes. You know what I mean? College basketball, college football. We have a college football optimized. Do you know what it is to put together projections for college football? How many fucking players exist in college football? It's like if you multiply the NFL by like 40, that's how many players there are. Like half of these guys, you type in their name, it's like nothing. You know what's funny?
By the way, last week after we made that comment, I did get someone asking me where the DFS cricket section is on DFS Army. So just so you know, that was a joke. But all the other mainstream sports, including soccer and tennis and college football, are there. Don't look for the field hockey and the cricket. All right.
There's a cornhole league in Arkansas, in Texarkana, that we're trying to get coverage of, but not yet. Not yet.
Three games, 13 minutes to go, boys. Here we go. Arizona going to San Francisco. San Francisco laying the 11.5. Oh, my God. What a line that is. Total of 46. John, has this line changed at all? I mean, this to me looks like I would be all over Arizona at this number.
Well, no, it hasn't changed. It's 11.5. The money's actually 50-50 on this. Remember, these two teams played three weeks ago on Thursday Night Football, and Arizona did cover that game. So
yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
So that should be fresh in everyone's head. Now that was a short week. Arizona was at home. So little different here. And now San Fran's coming off that crazy game on Monday night against Seattle that went almost the full overtime. So anticipation here from me is San Fran will be a little bit better than they were. That first matchup with Arizona coming off the Seattle game. They've got to get back on the winning track here and stay ahead of Seattle. As far as the totals go, 45.5, and we're seeing primarily the money coming in on the under. 68% is coming in on the underside.
From a DFS perspective, Geek, I just can't wait to hear you talk about who do you think, what player do you think I'm waiting for you to talk about?
No, stop with the Kenyon Drake. I benched him. Last time these two teams played.
Well, you know what's funny is that there hasn't been a worse investment in fantasy over the last 3 years than David Johnson. I mean, at this point, they just said they're going to play their best player. So I do assume that that's going to be Drake. And then, you know, David Johnson, maybe he's not healthy, but I think it's over for him pretty much. But with Matt Breida set to miss a couple weeks too, I'm interested. Is it just Tevin Coleman? Or do you have any interest in Raheem Mostert, who looked pretty good in limited touches last week?
No, you gotta have some interest in Rocket Raheem Mostert as the backup. But yeah, Tevin Coleman looks very good in the. You know, it's funny. The last time Breida was supposed to be out, and then he played. But the last time he was supposed to be out, I got really excited about playing T. Cole, and you know, I was loading up on him. And then when it turned out Breida was playing, it was hard for me to mentally adjust off of this. No, I got to lock in Tevin Coleman. It was a Monday night game, or it was a night game, so you had to make choices. and I was kicking myself afterwards for like getting stuck on something and not mentally readjusting once the news and sort of the situation itself had changed. But yeah, Tevin Coleman's in a good spot in this game. I can't complain. The 49ers are missing Manny Sanders, maybe missing George Kittle.
Yeah, so, I mean, Debo, right? You're thinking Debo here?
I mean, they don't have anybody else who can catch. So like, if you watch them play, these other guys are just not reliable. When you talk about Marquise Goodwin, he's just not a serious piece to the puzzle for these guys. Dante Pettis, I think Dante Pettis is on the outs more than anyone. So, I mean, I think he sucks. I think he just sucks. And so all we're left with really is Debo Samuel, some backup tight ends that you've probably never heard of. Like
Swelly. What's that guy's name, John? Yeah,
Ross Dwelly. Don't put John on the spot, man. He's not the encyclopedia footballer. He's just fucking crushing bets. He doesn't need to know Ross Dwelly's name. Jeez, that's your job. Tell me about Ross Dwelly.
I'm ashamed to say, before last week, I had not heard of him. And he's, you know, I usually know about their fourth tight end on the practice squad. This one was a surprise to me. I mean,
where did this guy come from? Right?
Give me a week. I'll do all the research. We'll see.
He actually played well against Arizona last time.
He played fine. He got four targets, got four receptions, didn't do a whole lot with it. Listen, I'm not getting excited about Ross Dwelly. Although, again, there is the cheat code Arizona thing going on. So maybe we should be a little excited.
That's the only reason I bring him up.
I mean, we can, but the other guy is Juszczyk, who is kind of being used as a tight end. I mean, if you want to get really silly for the Millie, you could play a little Kyle Juszczyk, but man, you got a great shot at a zero if you do that. And you know, they talked about him playing tight end, but he really plays that half, the tail, that position that they have now in football, which is like, you know, it's a tight end, but it's a fullback. It's the H-back. Yeah, it's like a tight end. I think Bill Parcells like perfected that position in football. He used to use it really well in the Jets back in the day. But Dante Pettis, not Dante Pettis, Debo Samuel. That's my back punk.
Yeah.
Wait, that's my back punk.
You're good. I mean, if I close my eyes, I thought it was actually.
Close your eyes for a second. That's my back punk.
Yeah, no, it's dead on. You're good at this impression thing.
You get some impressions when you do.
Yeah, but he actually looked good. I mean, you know, John, something that I saw was
wait. I got another Debo for you.
Oh, I don't want
to. This one's Smokey. Well, how are we on time? This one's Smokey doing when Debo. No, Debo comes around. He tell me shut up. I ain't afraid of Debo. He tell me shut up, and I'd be quiet. But when he leaves, I'd be talking again.
Yeah. No. That's definitely a top 15 comedy of all time, maybe in the top 10. But speaking of top 10, New England, top 10 all time, top 5 all time, maybe the GOAT of all
number
time.
Number 1 all time, maybe.
Yes, Tom Brady. It's just, you know, they're going to go into Philly. Philly is getting 3.5 at home, John. 44.5 is the total. But is this going to be the time of year where we see them start to run the ball a lot? I mean, they do this, or are they about to unlock Tom Brady's favorite weapon of James White? And is he about just to be like, go bananas for the rest of the season here? Talk to me about the betting angles. Then I'm curious of how you see New England, who got a little bit beat up in their bout with Baltimore last time out. How do they respond to this?
Yeah, well, so from the betting standpoint, 3.5, like you said, and I think people are probably, I would think the average person might be a little surprised, would think New England would be slightly heavier favorite, but I think that's actually a pretty good number. I would have put it at 3 myself. So 3.5, right in the ballpark. 75% of the money coming in on New England, which kind of proves the point that the public here with 80% of the tickets does think that's kind of a short line. Specifically, more from the Philly standpoint, just Carson Wentz hasn't looked very good. The Philly team in general just hasn't been very good. But, you know, as bad as Philly's been, they're right in the hunt now with Dallas kind of struggling. So they're right there. It's just going to be whoever wins that division is going to make the playoffs, and the other team's going to be out. From a total standpoint, 50-50 split, 44.5 on the total. Again, I think they kind of got that that number fairly right. I would have had it just slightly lower. So at 43, but yeah, I mean, when you're talking about New England, what are they going to start doing? You know, your guess is as good as mine, because, you know, he comes in with a different game plan, Belichick, every week. Yeah. And not only different game plan, but, you know, he might use different running backs. We've gotten a little lucky here where Michelle's kind of been the guy, but you know, it's a game by game with Belichick, and it's going to be basically just how this game goes. I think just if you look at the line and the numbers, it does kind of look like and sort of how most of their games have gone this year. They have not been Brady centric this year. This has not been a Tom Brady type of year. You haven't won any money with Tom Brady in DFS. So I would continue on that. On, you know, if I'm a betting man, and I am, I would continue to sort of I want to be short the Brady's. I probably want to be short most players in this game, to be honest with you.
I like the line, if I was a betting man.
Yes,
I am.
Geek, the way to beat Philly is deep, but that's not what New England does. They're a dink and dunk team. Is Brady, you know, to kind of conversely challenge John's point, Bill Belichick is a smart coach, and will he try to have Brady throw down the field, which is where Philly's most beatable?
They don't, the Patriots don't have down the field wide receivers. So you can want to do that all you want.
I was going to say, in this particular situation, I'm playing Philip Dorsett in a DFS lineup just on the outside chance they do throw to him. I can see a situation where he goes off this game. I know you don't like those long shot plays when you're talking about real cash and spending your money, but it's putting together that hypothesis or that thesis that I just laid out. I think he could be in play here.
I mean, Dorsett's had a couple good games, so it's definitely not out of the question. And if I'm stacking, if I'm playing Tom Brady, and I'm on the fence because, well, let me give my reason for the possibility. Now, I'm not interested in the Eagles side of this game at all. Quote unquote, this is my quote. I don't know who the fuck I'm quoting, but you don't make money loading up on offenses against the Patriots. You just don't, unless it's Lamar Jackson. Unless it's Lamar Jackson, you just don't make money doing that. So all we have to look at is the other side of this game, the Patriots side. And, you know, it's not that easy to run against the Eagles. They do have a stout run defense. It's been very good. Their secondary is actually improving. They've got a lot of guys back who were hurt early in the season that kind of caused them to have this horrible rating. Mohamed Sanu is coming off of a really, really interesting week where he was just targeted relentlessly. 14 targets, 10 receptions, short passes, 81 total yards, but he got the touchdown. Had a really, really good week last week at 5K. He was 4,200 last week, actually. Now he's up to 5K. He's going to be one of the more popular plays in DFS across the board this week. The Patriots are facing an Eagles team that look like you have to throw against them in order to have success. So you're going to think they're going to be throwing. Edelman is very, very expensive. Dorsett coming off a low volume. So Sanu stands out the most, I would say, of this group. He's not a must play for me, but he's definitely a salary saver type option on both sides. Outside of that, this is really like the running back situation for New England. You're right. James White, probably the best of the group. But when Burkhead, Michelle, and White are out there,
yeah, but when it gets down,
I'd rather just bet the prop, like the over on like four receptions for James White or whatever the over under is on.
Yeah, this is just seems like the time of year though that Brady is not, you know, they realize they just have to step on the gas a little bit. And when things, you know, get tight, and that's just the guy he trusts, James White. I mean, that's the, you know, just throwing those little 4 yard passes is like an extension of the run game anyway. So I really like James White, and I told you the reasons I like Dorsett in this one.
I like it. I think yeah. I think it's got a chance to be successful.
Okay. All right, John, Cincinnati at Oakland. Oakland getting the massive double-digit respect. I don't know if Cincinnati just looked like a complete doormat, overmatched in every facet of the game last week. 48.5 total. I'm interested to hear your analysis and breakdown of this game.
Yeah, again, the line looks about right. When was the last time the two Bay Area teams were double-digit favorites on the same weekend? I don't know if we can go back far enough to find that out. But, yeah, so Oakland 10.5 favorite. The money is coming in, you know, slightly more money here on Oakland. But the tickets are predominantly on Oakland. So kind of some hidden money here, I think, on Cincinnati plus the 10.5 from some sharp bettors. When you go to the total of 49, you've got it split about 50-50. So interesting game. Derek Carr, I have to go back and look. I should have looked it up before. Just how many times Derek Carr's been a double-digit favorite. Can't be all that many, and I'm willing to guess. And while you're going on, Geek, I'm going to take a look at that quickly. I'm willing to guess he hasn't been very good in those spots.
Derek Carr just hasn't been very good, period, this year from a fantasy scoring perspective. That I can promise you. And just looking at this game overall, you know, Cincinnati, they're going to have to score. I don't know that they can do it. So, you know, when you actually take the number here, it's a massive total, 29.5, 29.75 team total for the Raiders here. And one of the most popular plays on this entire slate is going to be Josh Jacobs, right?
Now, he'll be chalk this week. He'll be total chalk.
He's going to be super chalk. Now, I just want to throw up some flags of caution. Okay, throw flags out and maybe throw a name out there that might be of interest. But the caution flag on Josh Jacobs is just this. Again, he will be very highly owned. He will be extreme chalk home makeover edition. The only thing is, like, he doesn't get targeted a ton. So if he's not scoring touchdowns and probably more than one, or at least crossing the 100-yard threshold or doing something along those lines, it's, you know, he's not the type of player that's delivering 25 points week in and week out. He could get there. He could get you to 19. He's 7K. So we want 21 for cash, 28 for tournament value with this guy. He could totally get there, but I do expect he'll be somewhere in the 30 to 45% owned range, even higher in cash game. Like my first cash game, this guy was right in it. Christian McCaffrey, Josh Jacobs, Hill, 1, 2, 3, easy peasy, lemon squeezy. It just seemed like this seems a little too obvious. Sometimes when it seems a little too obvious, that's just the right path in cash, but it did seem a little too obvious. Now, the matchup is spectacular. Bengals can't stop anyone. I'm a little worried about the rest of the Raiders offense. Again, John, this is the theme I was talking about before, and I always have this fear. It's like, hey, if I can score so easily via the run, why would I bother throwing it? So a lot of times that's a risk. Like if you look at Derek.
You've only been making that mistake for about 7 years already. So
multiple years.
Stay with it.
Can that be his nickname, David? David Carr, Derek. Like his games. This is not a guy who's producing 14, 11, 16, 14, 8, 17, 19, 13, and oh, I left out the 123 on purpose. So this has been a guy under 20 fantasy points almost every single week, regardless of the matchup, spectacular, whatever. I'm not playing him, not for 6,100. Fuck that.
Yeah, well, Carr basically is 250 yards and two touchdowns every week. I mean, you know, just a pretty high floor, but no ceiling whatsoever so far this season.
Guy has not crossed the 300-yard threshold
at all. It's 250, 270 every week.
No, thank you. I don't want it. I don't like it. Josh Jacobs can steal all the tutties. And from the Cincinnati side, man, I have a hard time. There are so many pieces that are priced well, and it's not like Raiders defense is scary, but they've got like young Andy Dalton, his little twin brother, Red Jr. number two, starting at quarterback, and I don't trust it. I don't know who he's going to throw to. He's going to throw a lot. I kind of think Mixon might be playable.
Yeah,
that's a crazy thought.
30 carries last week, and that's when they were, and he didn't get game scripted out. They were down huge, and they were still, you know, they were just
Gio was out of the game.
They were like, let's just get out of this. You know, let's just get out of this game. Let's kill the clock. They traded clock for punishment, and they just ran the ball instead of throwing three and outs every time. So, yeah, I like Mixon to break 20 carries easily. That's a good call.
I can't hate on this guy, man. He's coming off of two pretty good games, and they're emphasizing him a little bit more. I'd love to see them throw to him, but I think that Gio Bernard might be out this way. I need to see what the story is with Gio. Knee isn't listed. Oh, fuck.
No, he's back. Gio's back.
Son of a bitch. All right, that kills that idea. But still, Mixon, slight interest, can't trust him in cash.
All right. We did it again, boys. We managed to squeeze it all in under an hour and 25 minutes for at Statsational, StatSational. Tell us quickly about your Beat the Bookie section of DFS Army.
Yeah, come on over to Beat the Bookie and check us out. We've got Ryan and Anthony, myself over there, hitting you up with some, we're giving you some games, we're giving you some advice, working on all sorts of things. These guys are asking phenomenal questions. Matter of fact, I worked on some stuff this morning for these guys. We were just talking about, should we take a spread? Should we take the money line? When should you take it? So there's a lot of math stuff, and I love when guys ask questions because it gives me a chance to go research it and get better myself. So if you want to get sharper, come on over to Beat the Bookie and learn what's going on over there.
Yeah, and basically what you do is you go over to Beat the Bookie You go over to dfsarmy.com and you click on the Beat the Bookie tab. It's up in the upper right-hand corner, and then you can go and sign up for a membership using code BTB, Beat the Bookie, or you can use Statsational over there, and you will sign up and get a discount for life there as well. Every Saturday also, John hosts a podcast, Beat the Bookie podcast. We're going to try to get those out at least once a week, if not every other week. And you should go back and check those out because we give great advice there. John brings you through things like in-game wagering, how to shop lines, and other news and current events that have to do with sports wagering. So if you're just getting into sports wagering or you've been into some time and you haven't had much luck, John is a great teacher of process. Sorry to brag while you're sitting right there, John, but I've learned a lot just from our discussions. Geek at FFootballGeek. Quickly tell us what you're working on, and then we'll wrap up.
As always, Geek's Pick Sheet for DFS Army VIP subscribers. As of right now, it's about 60% complete. Running backs, quarterbacks, all good to go. Working on wide receivers and defenses. That'll be ready on Friday. And, of course, we will be back with the Wolfpack. I have a special guest in mind for the Wolfpack. Going to keep it secret. But we might have a special guest this week that's on Thursday nights. That's DFS Army subscribers, VIP subscribers only. We're crushing NBA. Even right now as I speak, it's 6 p.m. And NBA lock is in about an hour. So I'm about to get here and knock out my 150. And all week long, NFL content, nonstop, leading up to Sunday. Big week for me personally. I got King of the Beach on Sunday. I've got a big contest, the mega Wildcat Millionaire or whatever on FanDuel as well this week. So couple of bigger contests that I'm normally involved with on a week-to-week basis. So my focus this week for NFL is going to be just making one awesome lineup for each site. So it's unusual for me, but we'll see how that goes. And of course, get signed up with DFS Army. It's time. It's the best time of year, football and basketball simultaneous.
All right. Thanks, guys, for at Statsational, John Alicia, for at FFootballGeek. Kevin Allen, the football geek. I am Season Long Says at Allen Seslowski, and we'll see you next Wednesday on the Geeks Vegas Lines, guys. Bye bye.
Deuces.